Good morning, everyone. This is Christopher Glenn with the CBS World News Roundup. Political passion runs high in South Africa in the wake of President Reagan's news conference comments on the deaths of 18 blacks from police gunfire. And there's more violence as the impact of the incident continues to grow. Tony Danina reports from Johannesburg that the worst of the trouble is in the Port Elizabeth area where the shootings occurred.
Nine black policemen's homes were set on fire in the township late yesterday. A student and worker strike there continues today. Early this morning, someone threw two grenades at the home of the mayor of Soweto. That's the sprawling black township outside Johannesburg. There were no injuries. Black policemen and township officials are often regarded as collaborators with the white minority government, so they become easy targets. U.S. Assistant Secretary of State Chester Crocker is on a diplomatic swing through South Africa. Crocker apparently asked to meet with South Africa's largest black anti-apartheid organization. A spokesman for the group said today it refused. He said blacks in South Africa are outraged and disgusted by President Ronald Reagan's statement after Thursday's shootings. The president said he deplored the killings, but he said deaths occurred partly because anti-apartheid protesters want trouble in the streets. Tony Danina for CBS News, Johannesburg.
South African President P.W. Botha, in an ABC News interview, has pledged to keep order. As he put it, nobody in the world is going to stop me. He called his nation the hope of the subcontinent of Southern Africa. Was it mutiny with an eye toward defection? No one knows for sure at this point, but South Korean naval vessels fired shots and three Chinese warships pulled away after the Koreans took in tow a Chinese torpedo boat. David Jackson pieces together the details from Tokyo.
South Korean officials say only that six of the crew members were dead and two wounded when the ship was found. No word how many other people are still aboard. And there's no official explanation yet as to just what happened. But unconfirmed reports reaching here say one, possibly two of the crew members wanted to defect to Taiwan and tried to take control of the ship, and that triggered a gunfight. The only comment so far from Peking is that the Chinese Navy lost contact with one of several ships on maneuvers in the area. The South Koreans say three other Chinese ships intruded into Korean waters, apparently searching for the vessel. The Koreans say they sent their own planes and ships out and chased the Chinese away with, quote, a show of force. There's no indication yet what the Koreans plan to do with the Chinese ship and crew. There's been no official mention yet from either side of any would-be defectors. In the past, Seoul has allowed Chinese defectors to travel on to Taiwan. South Korea and China do not have official relations, but they have been playing a delicate diplomatic game in the last year or so with unofficial sports and cultural exchanges. And the Seoul regime may not want to upset those ties by appearing to give refuge to mutineers. David Jackson, CBS News, Tokyo.
Firefighters in Seoul, South Korea, have problems closer to home. A huge blaze caused by a gas explosion has gutted more than 420 shops in a downtown marketplace in the capital. Two people were injured. It took 3 hours to bring it under control. Officials say the explosion occurred when a truck unloading butane gas tanks in front of one of the stores accidentally bumped into other butane canisters on the ground. Scores of shuttered savings and loan institutions in Ohio now have the go-ahead to resume limited services for cash-short customers.
Each institution has the prerogative now to open for limited withdrawals. That is $750 per depositor, not per account, per depositor in any 30-day period.
Kenneth Cox, Ohio's banking director. It's not known how many of the 69 institutions which had been closed after a run on deposits will be able to conduct business today. Seven of the thrifts have won conditional approval for federal insurance and can resume full service. Some officials of the closed SNLs are wondering why they were shut down in the first place. Kevin Donahue of WERE Cleveland.
At this point, thrift executives feel a lot like Greg Markell of Menor Savings near Cleveland.
After the doors get open, you can ask me how I think it was handled, and I'll give it to you in graphic language.
Thrift officials saw no reason to close, growing more frustrated as the initial three-day banking holiday stretched to 8 days. Political squabbling in the legislature delayed passage of an emergency bill. Some thrifts were told they could open for limited withdrawal after submitting FSLIC applications, then found out that miscommunications among state officials meant they could not. Late yesterday, Governor Richard Celeste replaced his superintendent of SNLs with an attorney to oversee the reopening process. All of this has most frustrated the depositors, like Rita Rosum.
I'm going to tell you what I did before I came here this morning. I went to church, prayed for divine guidance. I know what I would like to have done, taken all my money out, but that doesn't say I would do it.
Kevin Donahue for CBS News, Cleveland.
President Reagan is bringing up the big guns in an effort to win House approval for his MX missile plans. He's recalling Chief Geneva arms negotiator Max Kampelman to help in the lobbying effort, as we hear from Gary Schuster at the White House.
Under the guise of returning to give the president a private progress assessment of the two-week-old arms talks, Kampelman will spend most of his time on Monday jawboning members of the House who vote the next day on MX missile funding. Kampelman will tell the legislators that progress in the arms talks is directly linked to congressional approval of $1.5 billion to build 21 more MX missiles. Mr. Reagan is inviting all 100 senators and the 535 members of the House to the White House Monday afternoon to hear Kampelman's plea for passage of the MX legislation. Kampelman also is expected to travel to Capitol Hill for private lobbying sessions with undecided House members. The president is going to go all out, said a senior White House official. It boils down to convincing individual members of Congress. Gary Schuster, CBS News, the White House.
Hang your clothes on a hickory limb, but don't go near the water. Might have been good advice for an American who decided to take a dip in the Mekong River in Thailand. Rick Fredrickson in Bangkok explains.
John Phillips is resting in Bangkok this weekend after 10 days of uncertainty in communist Laos. While vacationing in northeast Thailand, Phillips swam to the Laotian side of the Mekong River and was taken prisoner by armed soldiers. For 4 days, he shared a cell with 9 Laotian prisoners, but they ended up singing songs, sharing cigarettes, and giving each other massages. He said his captors were gentle people who treated him well and gave him a certain amount of freedom.
Every day, high school students would walk directly in front of where I was staying to go to school, and they would come over and stand around and practice. Some of them knew a little bit of English. I would practice with them a little bit, and they were a lot of fun.
There were interrogation sessions, questions about the Vietnam War and what Phillips knew about the CIA. But he said that one of the worst things was pure boredom. The only thing they had for him to read was Soviet propaganda. Rick Fredrickson for CBS News, Bangkok.
Still no sign of 3 employees of the French embassy in Beirut kidnapped by armed gunmen yesterday. The Islamic Jihad or Islamic Holy War claims responsibility for the abductions. The time is 10 past the hour.